All right, is everybody in Luke 19? Everybody awake? You get there? Good. All right. So last week we started this series on taking it personally, and we're talking about sharing the gospel personally and making that a priority for our everyday lives. And did anybody have an opportunity this week to give a tract to somebody or to share their testimony with someone, or a door opened up? Yes, sir. Did you raise your hand? Yeah. Amen. All right. Somebody else got to share the gospel, something like that this week. I didn't get to share the gospel with this person, but I had a coworker that I've worked with for a little while now, and he was asking if I had seen, I'd heard of it, but I've never seen it. CNN is doing this series on religion and things like that on Sunday nights, and from what I've heard, it's actually, as to be expected, pretty bad. That's how those things usually go. But he was mentioned that he saw it, and this was interesting or that, and so we started talking a little bit, and he was talking just about religions in general, and I got to say with him, I said, yeah, but you know, there's only one faith or religion, whatever you want to call it, where the whole faith is built on the fact that its founder actually rose from the dead. And he thought about that for a minute. He never actually considered that. So I like, would you like to read? And so I got a book that I want to give you. So I haven't been able to do that yet, but that kind of laid the groundwork for a future conversation. And sometimes that's how it goes. Anybody else? Something the Lord did something like that in your life, or you had an opportunity? Remember, last week we talked about the value of, do you remember? The value of what? One. The value of one. And that Christ came, and his sacrifice, and that how the very, over one sinner that rejoices, what happens? Yeah, over one sinner that repents. Did I say rejoice? Over one sinner that repents, the very angels in heaven rejoice. That's what they're excited about. So today, now, the title of this lesson and the topic here is to seek and to save. To seek and to save. So you should be in Luke chapter number 19. And I want you to look, we're going to look at the whole story, but I want to begin by looking at verse number 10. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking here. And he says in verse number 10, speaking of himself, because he often referred to himself as the Son of Man, he says, why don't you read it with me out loud? Luke 19:10, and begin. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to think about that verse for a minute. We're going to make a few introductory comments. I hope you'll be able to help me with them. So think about it. Think about that one verse. There's actually some powerful things that could challenge us right in there. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you'd bless this time of study. Help us, Lord, to be reminded again of how important it is to share our faith and to take the Great Commission personally, that it's our responsibility, that you've called us to it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, last week, remember, we talked about the lost, see who remembers, the lost, what? Sheep. And then we talked about the lost coin. And then we talked about the lost son. So today we're actually going to look at individual people who are lost. Individual stories of those who were lost. Now, Jesus had no question about why he was here. He had no question about what his purpose was. If I asked you today, you know, what are you working on in your life? Hopefully you'd have some goals. Hopefully you'd say, well, you know what, I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better wife, I want to be a better father, a mother, a grandmother, I want to be a better employee, I want to work on this, I want to work on that, it's my goal, I have this goal, I have that goal. Those are all important. Now, if you asked Jesus, though, what his purpose was, what he wanted, there would be no confusion. He said very clearly that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Another passage that's kind of similar, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. So as you think about this verse, before we look at the stories a little bit in a little bit more detail, as you think about this verse where Jesus says the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost, and you're thinking about you taking this personally, what are some things that stand out for you from just the short, simple statement that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost? Anyone? Help me get this going this morning? Any thoughts on this? Yes, sir. Yeah, that he would save us. Let's think about the seeking part now. What stands out to you when you think about that? As you think about taking it personally? Yeah, right? You have to make an effort. There, if you want to jot this down, there's this movement that began maybe 40 years ago, and it was called lifestyle evangelism. Has anybody heard that term before? Lifestyle evangelism? It was a very common teaching for a while. And does anybody know what lifestyle evangelism means? What does that mean? Anyone know? Right. So lifestyle evangelism was this. What you need to do is be the gospel, so to speak, and live a good Christian life and love the Lord and love people and do all of that. And then when people come up to you, they'll say, hey, what's different about you? And then you'll be able to share the gospel with them. How many times has that happened to you in your life? How many? None. I can't think of one time. And I've done my best to... And is there anything wrong with that teaching that you should live a life? No, because obviously your talk has to match your walk, right? You have to live it. You can't just say it. You have to live it. But I can't think of one time in my whole life where someone came up to me and said, boy, I've noticed a difference in your life. Could you tell me what that difference is all about? Now, does that happen? Yeah, of course it happens. But has anybody ever had that happen to them? One, two, three. Okay, and how many times? A couple of times? And how many years of being a Christian? A lot of years, right? Right. So a couple of times. Right. Yep. Right. And so tell me the gospel. So I think the point has been made here that yes, that can happen occasionally. But is that what we've been commissioned to do? Is that the example of Jesus? What did Jesus do? He said here he did what? He was seeking. He looked. As Mrs. Thompson said, he made an effort. How many of you would like to see people saved through your life and through your work? I mean, obviously, every hand would go up here. We want to see that. But if we're going to follow Christ, what do we have to do? Seek. In other words, not wait for opportunities, but look for opportunities. Or... make opportunities, right? I've heard the I've seen the bumper sticker, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. Has anybody seen that before? Have you seen that? I kind of like that in some ways, but in other ways, you cannot preach the gospel without using words. You can't share the gospel without words because the essence of the gospel comes from the very words of God. So Jesus was on a rescue mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what we're going to see, we're going to look at a couple accounts where Jesus went out of his way. And Jesus went into unlikely situations and he went to unlikely people. Because the reality is, as we think about the lost don't always realize that they're lost. The lost don't always realize that they're lost. And God uses people and events to point out to people in their lives that they are lost, that they are in need of a Savior. So, Jesus, everywhere he went, was intentional, was purposeful about it. So you tell me, why aren't we seeking the lost? I mean, you, in your life, think about it. And please don't give me generic answers. I mean, really, think about it. Why aren't we seeking the lost? The lost. Okay? Fear of rejection. People get intimidated. Absolutely. Why else are we not? Boy, have you ever said, boy, God, I just want you to answer my prayers. I really want you to answer my prayers. I want to see you do something. Can I give you a prayer that you can pray today that I will guarantee you? I mean, you can come and give me a hard time if it doesn't happen. Right now, if you pray this prayer, you ready? I sound like a TV preacher, right? Right now, if you pray this prayer, God will answer it. And what's that prayer? Lord, put someone in my path today that I can share the gospel with. Guess what will happen? He'll do it. How many of you ever you've seen that happen in your life? There was a time where you're burdened. You said, Lord, why? Because we're praying according to the will of God. And then you know what God begins to do to our eyes? He changes them. So when we're out, we don't see a person, to use the same example all the time, we don't see the person at the cash register, or we don't see the waitress, but we see a soul. We see someone lost. We see an opportunity to share the gospel. But it has to be a change of mentality. And the change of mentality isn't going from being a wicked, awful, miserable failure of a Christian. The mentality is going from, you know what, I love the Lord, and I'd like to see people saved. I'd like to invite people to church. I'd like to see the Lord make a difference. I'd like all that. That's not a bad attitude, but that's not what we're called to. We're called to seek and to save the lost. If we could see that reversal, it would change everything. If we would just, for a day, change our mindset. Yeah. Isn't it fun? I'm glad you brought that up, because isn't that something, like, if we see a television program that we really liked, we don't have any problem. Like, hey, you got to watch this. This was really great. I mean, I saw this. You got to watch that. But all of a sudden, when it's sharing the gospel, it's like, Jesus, God, the Bible is right here. Okay? Does it feel like that sometimes? Yeah. So why is that? Well, there's a few reasons. One is that because what we're doing is engaging in spiritual warfare. So there's going to be opposition to us doing that. So you had your hand raised, Dad. Were you going to? Right.
So I think sometimes we forget that once it starts, then the Holy Spirit then will start to lead us and guide us and direct us and take control of the conversation.
So you may not be as skilled as
the Reverend Malachuk
at conversing in such a way. You may not, you know what, this might be your first time. So the point is this, the more you begin to share your faith, the easier it is. And sometimes you can skip that whole thing, all right? That's a great way to lead somebody that conversation. But honestly, if you're like, boy, I really feel like I need to share it, you could skip the whole thing. And you could say, yeah, I don't know, I think people are really confused. Do you know what has given me a lot of answers in my life? Knowing Jesus. Can I give you this? This tells how you can know Jesus. See what I'm saying? That's simple. Now, would it be better if you could engage in a nice conversation and get them thinking so masterfully as that? He went through the whole thing. All right. You know what I'm saying, though? All of us ought to, I'll come to you, Frank, in just a minute. All of us ought to just have, especially as if you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, I need to be better about this. And you could be either a new Christian, you're like, I want to learn this, or you could be a Christian for years, and you could be like, yeah, if I were honest, I'd be kind of a little bit embarrassed if you asked me, you know, how would you share your faith with somebody? I've been a Christian for years, and I'm no good at it. All right? Well, let me encourage you to think this way. First of all, it begins with a mindset change. What Jesus said here, to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, I'm not doing this class with us all because I'm looking at myself like I'm a great soul winner. No, I'm doing this because I want to be on this together. I want us all to get burdened in passion, myself included, that this week I'm going to ask the Lord, I may have a job as this, I may be that, but I'm on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. So, if you're not prepared, or if you've never done it before, you ought to just have a simple go-to statement and a track in your pocket. A lot of people have kind of, in modern days, have kind of poo-pooed the track. You know, they don't really think highly of passing out tracks. But you know what? That's foolishness. Because a track serves many purposes. One, if someone is genuinely at a point of searching, they've got something that they can read, that the gospel's there. Do most tracks end up in the waste bin? Sure, of course they do. But people have been brought to the Lord through simple gospel literature. But also, the track is also beneficial for who? For who? Yeah, for us. Because we don't have to know all the answers. Should we get better at doing speaking to people? Of course. But for now, you can say, have a simple statement like, you know what? I just wanted to give you this. We have these, I've said this before. If it's a cash register, whatever, could be a card. This is a simple thing. There's a couple ways you can do it. You can come up to somebody and you could be anywhere. You'd be like, hey, we got these cards that we're giving everybody from our church. I want you to have that. It's an invitation to our Easter service, but on the back, it tells you what Jesus has done. He's made a big difference in my life, and I wanted to give you that. No, you can't have it. You're not lost enough. All right. Everybody could say that. Anybody could say, hey, I just would like to give you this. We get these great Easter cards at our church. I want to give you that. It reminds us of what Jesus has done. It's made a big difference in my life. Boom. I did the fun. Sometimes I got this from a preacher. He was in Las Vegas, and he pastored in Las Vegas for years, and he's a soul winner, Pastor Dave Tice, and he always has tracks with him, always. And he would go to the big fairs and events in Las Vegas, convention centers. You know, everything happens there, and he'd always be dressed official, like he belongs at that event or something. He'd have his tracks or whatever. He'd be like, "Did you get one of these yet?" Did you get one of these yet? Oh, no, no. Well, here you go. Did you get one of these yet? Did you get one yet? And I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I went to the bank, and it was Christmas time, and the drawer came out. I said, oh, I want to give you this too. This is a Christmas card from our church. I want you to have that. And she gets it, she looks at it, and she says to me, oh, do you guys deliver these to houses too? And she said, I'm like, yeah, we do. She's like, oh, yeah. Because I got one of these at my house the other day. And I was like, well, awesome. So, have you come yet? You know, that kind of a thing. But, you should have just a go-to statement. And if you have to write it down and memorize it, write it down and memorize it. And just have something that you can say whenever that opportunity comes, when anybody wants to ask you about, because people like to ask you, they know you're a Christian. Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about that? You know, I don't have all the answers, but I do try to base my life on the Bible. And rather than get in an argument over whatever issue it is they want to talk to you about, I don't have all the answers. Yeah, I do believe this. But it's really because I live by the Bible. And the reason for that is I know Jesus. He died for me. And I trusted him. That makes all the difference. Here, in fact, let me give you this. Because this can help. This explains that. And why I base my life on Christ. Because some people want to know. Because especially up here, they find it strange. Like, you believe the Bible? Deborah, you had somebody say that to you the other day, right? You believe the Bible? At work. You told me that story. You don't remember. All right. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah. And I believe the Bible because Jesus has changed my life. This tells you a little bit about it. Simple things that we can say. You say, well, I'm afraid. I don't know how. And then if somebody wants to know more, listen, I've gone out door to door and people are open, and I'm like, yeah, in fact, let me show you this. And I've just, Jesus is God and he loves you. Look, the Bible says this, he died to pay for your sins. He desires to come into your life and save you. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus? They might not get saved right then and there, but these are just simple ways that we can share the faith. But it all begins with a mindset that has to change. To say, I want to be here to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, I had a couple of comments. Frank, I promised first. See, that's even better because then it's a track that follows up a conversation, right? You've had a conversation, you shared a little bit of your testimony with someone, and then it almost makes sense to them that why you're giving that to them. You're not like confronting it with them, with somebody in that kind of a setting. You're saying, oh, since we were talking about this, I want to give you this. And that's why in the coming weeks, I'm going to be ordering a couple little booklets that you can have for people like that person at work that I explained to you, just a little short book that they can read about the faith. So different ways that we can do that, but our mindset has to change. Deborah, you had some. Yeah, just fight. Step out by faith. And begin, and let the Lord lead. Yeah, for sure. At the same time, one of the things we'll talk about with this in this lesson, though, is cultivating the seed. Because, as Paul said, one planted the seed, another did what? Watered. So it's the human effort involved here. But who gives the increase? The Lord. And that's what my dad's just saying. That's the Lord that does it. At the same time, don't just view yourself as a seed caster, but also as a cultivator, as a waterer, to build relationships with people, to plant the seed, and then to cultivate that in their lives. So in coming weeks, we'll actually talk about that, and not giving up on people, but continuing and persistently reaching out to them. So, yeah, to seek and to save, to look for the opportunities. And then there's a final really simple way that if it's really hard for you, the simplest thing you can do is say, listen, I'd really love for you to be my guest for a church service one of these Sundays. And every Sunday here, the gospel is going to be preached. We emphasize that. It doesn't happen in every church. But every Sunday, there's going to be a clear opportunity for someone to hear the gospel, for someone to trust Christ as their Savior. And that's intentional. So many people have been... How many in here were saved in a church service? Who in here got saved in a church service or a Sunday school class or something like that? Okay, wow. So that's almost half of us came to know the Lord in some kind of a church service. So we praise the Lord for that because God uses preaching. At the very least, give a tract, invite someone, but be seeking and God will save. Anybody else? Yes, sir. So I'm not doing it with you. That's awesome. And Gideon's Bibles throughout the everywhere, hotels and whatnot. And it's good. There's power in that. So praise the Lord. All right, well, we don't have time to look at all these stories, but I want to show you two. So the story in Luke 19 is Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up the sycamore tree. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house. He was lost, and he was found. And a lot of people didn't like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was one of those tax collectors. They didn't like him. Nobody looked at Zacchaeus and thought, boy, he's lost and he knows it. But Zacchaeus knew he was lost. And Jesus reached out to him. But go now, I want to look at two in John's gospel. So go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You can read the Gospels and see Jesus over and over intentionally looking for people that were lost. Verse number 3, Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I love verse number 4. And he must needs go through where? He must. Now, if you've studied your Bible for a little while, you know that that doesn't make any sense. Okay? Because no Jew must needs go through Samaria. And why is that? They hated each other. The prejudices ran deep. They were generational. And they were spiritual. They were familial. They were deep, deep prejudices between Jews and Samaritans. The disciples, when they found out they were going through Samaria, the disciples were, ugh, through there? We're going to that part of town? We're going where those people live? And Jesus says, we must needs go through Samaria. You tell me, did Jesus need to go through Samaria because it was the faster route? No. Did Jesus need to go through Samaria because he liked the scenery? No. Why did Jesus need to go through Samaria? Because there was a woman in Samaria. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he goes through Samaria and he seeks out a woman. So he goes to the well. Verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse number 9, the woman says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. So Jesus says, you're dipping in this well, and I'm asking you for a drink. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink of living water. And you read the story, Jesus goes on, and he has a conversation with this woman. And they get into this little discussion about where they should worship and which worship practices are right and this and that. But Jesus gets right to it and he says, go call your husband. But she says, well, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're right because you've had a whole bunch. And the one that you're with now, he's not your husband either. What'd you have, 4 or 5? 5 men. So not only is this woman a Samaritan, but she's even a lowly Samaritan, a woman of ill repute. But she comes to Christ. Then she runs back to the city. She says, come see a man which told me all things I'd ever done. And many Samaritans came and believed on Christ because he was there to seek and to save. Now look at this other one in John chapter 5. I wish I could take more time with this, but this story always gets me. Verse 2, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Well, why in the world? Well, because an angel went down at a certain time and troubled the water. And anybody who was the first one in the water was what? They would be healed. There's this miraculous thing that would take place. If you were the first one, as soon as you were sitting there and your hand might have not worked or you couldn't see or you couldn't hear really well, they would hang out by this pool. And as soon as the angel would come and trouble the water, the person would come in and they'd be healed. Jesus walks by all the people there, and he finds one man, because he's here to seek and to save that which is lost. He finds one man. Verse 5, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, go ahead, read it, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, what's he say? I have no man. What's he saying? What's he saying? There's nobody. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Because a porch there filled with hurting people, nobody was there for him. He said, there's nobody, I have no man. When the water's troubled, to put me in the water. And Jesus heals him. We know that's what happens at the end of the story. But Jesus stepped in, and Jesus was the one who cared when no one cared. So as we look at people, could be someone like Zacchaeus, who seems to have it all together. Could be someone who's really made a mess of their life, like the woman at the well. Or it could be someone that's got some real challenges, like this disabled man in the story. But let no one that we come into contact with, let no one that we know say, well, and I heard a preacher preach this whole message, and it was really good. He told story after story after story of people that he met that were just ready. I mean, they were ready to be saved. But no one had taken the time to share the gospel with them. No one had taken the time to realize that they're lost. And the preacher, all throughout the message, would say, would have been saved years ago. Would have trusted Christ a long time ago. But he had no man. No one came and no one said, hey, this is the way of eternal life. This is the Savior. Would you like to be made whole? But it's got to begin with us saying, you know what? I've got to have a change. I've got to repent of a mindset. It's not just, Lord, yes, I'd like to see people come to know Christ, but Lord, put me in the path. Lord, help me to be someone who seeks to see souls saved. So let's be seekers. Amen? Amen. Make a plan. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'd bless the service now to follow. Pray that your name would be lifted up and magnified. Draw us close to you. I pray that you draw souls to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.